Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. God is doing through us here at the Outlet Community, and this is probably why you definitely want to make it early to service, because you just never know. I realize that we can be creatures of habit, and sometimes we can get set into, okay, the church gonna have, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes of singing, then the pastor gonna get up and say something, then he gonna preach, so I'm gonna slide right in. But every now and then, I'm just going to come right out after the high energy. Man, weren't they just on fire this morning? God bless y'all. Our worship team was extremely on fire this morning. Well, if you have your Bibles, go with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. We are going to be continuing our series on life beyond the middle. Last week, we took a quick break within life beyond the middle, because I just believe that I was led to really share from my heart, just to encourage your life. And so if you weren't here last week, I highly encourage you to go back on our podcast, let it come right there to your phone, and just really listen to what the Spirit of God, I believe, is saying to this community just about changing seasons. One thing that's constant in life, and that is change. And so we wanted you to be equipped to know what to do when change happens, when things take place, so that you don't get stuck when God is trying to do greater things in our lives. But it was so tough, because I am so in love with this Life Beyond the Middle series, because after Sunday, this series challenges me to live better than average. I was at a networking event yesterday, and they asked a question that really got me right to my heart, and I want to ask you all the same question, and that is, if you looked last week, last Sunday to Saturday, and you're having a reflection moment today, can you say you gave your best self every day? And so this series about life beyond the middle is about not settling for average in any area of our life. Personally, it's challenging me to look at areas that I've dealt with personally and personal struggles for the last 13 and 14 years. And one thing that I am learning about leadership is that as the leader grows, he then brings it to the people and gives them an opportunity to grow in areas as well. So if it ever feels uncomfortable for you, just know that it's just a little uncomfortable for me as well. But guess what? When we're feeling uncomfortable, we are in a place of growth, and God desires us to grow, because anytime we're not growing, we're relying on what worked yesterday. Therefore, we're trying to control our future outcome. And so in any place of your life, I want you to be at a level of dependence totally on God for everything that you think, say, and do. I know that you're successful. I know that you're wise. I know that you're smart. But what I am asking for everyone to do is purpose, to say, today, Lord, I am going to depend on you for everything that I need. Well, the first few weeks we talked about that you're blessed. That was our hashtag. That was the word that I want you all to have. So each week, as we're learning from Jesus, this is Jesus speaking to the churches, churches at large. But we are individually the ecclesia. We are the church. So he's speaking to us personally. And I find it interesting that in the book of Revelation, after Jesus Christ has died, after he was raised from the dead, and he is now living, he had a message for his church saying, these are the type of characteristics that I want inside of my body. So we talked about that you're blessed. So before the Lord ever asked us to do anything, he wants us to know that we right now, we are blessed. And then after we understand that we're blessed, the Lord then talked about passion, that everything that we do, every job, every assignment, every task, whether it's taking out the trash, whatever it is, that we do it with passion and not lackluster, not become apathetic. So he wants us to always have passion and be excited about the day that we're living in. After we got done talking about passion, we then moved into resilience. And when we talked about resilience, we learned that it's not about what happens to you, but it's how you respond from it. And that in your mind, you have to have that with God on my side, I am never defeated. And that if the Lord placed me in a particular situation, he's going to give me the ability to rise above any obstacle or adversity that tries to hold me back. But today, I want to talk about something that's not sexy, but it needs to be talked about in church because Christ talked about it in his letters to the churches. And the two words that we are going to deal with today, the first one is honor. The second one is integrity. Honor and integrity. Very rare, and I've been in church for a while, like my whole life. I was born on a Sunday. 6 weeks later, I was at church in my Easter suit. I mean, that's just how long I've been in church. Very rare, I can count on one hand how many times I've heard a message on honor and how many times I've heard a message on integrity. Can I reveal something to you all while studying this? As I was studying honor and integrity, I realized that I fell short in my own personal life because integrity deals with the secret areas that we try to keep a mask on. And I realized that if I am to be what Christ has called me to be, then it's important for me to line up every area of my life, not the areas that the public sees. But every area of my life, Christ is concerned with. So in Revelation chapter 2, and we're in between two churches, so I'm going to cover two churches in a short amount of time. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, everyone in here is victorious. Say, I'm victorious. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what's going on. You right now are victorious. So he's speaking to you. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some manna that has been hidden away in heaven, meaning some provision that you did not expect. See, if you go back into the Old Testament and you think about manna, when the Lord began to provide for their journey, there was nowhere for them to sit down and bake. And so the Lord decided to rain lemon pound cakes from heaven. Yeah, that was in the wrong translation. That was how I was reading it. I was adding that. Well, anyway, let me add that. I can do that to the text. So the Lord dropped lemon pound cakes from heaven. And when the Lord was providing what they were praying for, they said what we oftentimes say when we feel and see God's provision. It fell in front of them, and they said, manna. The word in Hebrew, manna, means what is this? See, we look at manna today and say, he rained manna from heaven. We are literally saying that he literally rained, what is this from heaven? Have you noticed that when you pray, when God answers, it's not the way that you thought it was going to happen, but yet he still provided anyway. And so in order for us to operate in the most amount of provision possible is we have to live lives of honor and integrity. And here's why. He said, and I will give each of you each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. And so to give you some context behind what he was talking to, every time that Christ talked to one of the churches in that particular province, he was talking to them based off of cultural references that they knew. And so that's really important whenever we're sharing the word of God. Make sure you tie it together with what people understand. The other day I was talking with some ministry leaders and they said, I don't believe in that entertainment. I don't care about entertainment. All I want to do is give them the, and they did sound like this in my head. I want to give them the word. And so I'm like, I don't want to hear that. Entertain me. If I'm going to drive myself to your event and you're not going to have no frills, no exciting thing but the word of God, I'm not coming. Oh, y'all didn't like to hear that either? Okay, y'all the same way. You think that if you had to take time out of your busy schedule to be bored to death, because I ain't gonna lie, if nobody is tying the Bible into what's really going on in my life, that is boring. So you mean to tell me you're gonna be bored to death? No. So Christ understood this thousands of years ago that I've got to relate this to something that they are familiar with. Therefore, it can take things of the spirit and make it relevant to what they're dealing with in the natural. That's how we're to reach other people. You have to take things that are working in the natural. Go to where people are first and then bring them to where you are, because you haven't always been where you are today. And so you have to have empathy and have to have humility to understand that everybody is not where I'm at, and I can't expect everyone to be where I'm at. But what I can do is go to where they are, and since I am so spiritual and I am so mature, then I can use this patience and I can go ahead and walk alongside of them. So what Christ was doing, he was giving them an analogy. He said, I'm going to give you a white stone. What is significant behind a white stone? In that particular area, they would build buildings with black stone. So you had buildings for miles throughout the entire city that were all black, meaning every building looked alike. So what the Lord said is to every person who's going to listen to what we're talking about with honor and integrity, you're not going to look like everyone else. I am going to give you a white stone. White is a stark contrast to black. And I am going to give you something to cause you to stand out in a world of compromise. I'm going to give you something that's going to cause you to shine, not because of anything you've done, but because the whole world is going to see what I'm able to do through you. And so this is a sign of comfort. But the way that Christ elevates us oftentimes in our natural mind is foolish. And so he says, in order to be elevated in life, in order to live beyond the middle, I want you to commit to two things: being a person of honor and being a person of integrity. In my life, those have been two hallmark values that under no means am I willing to break. And watch this, and I still have a long way to go in this. But there have to be some values in your life that you are willing to risk it all to uphold. Everything should not be for sale. So we have to be mindful that when it comes to honor, the church of Pergamum, and if you're reading Revelations 2, write these down just for future reference and future notes. Revelations 2. Verses 12 through 17, you can read about the church of Pergamum. They represented honor. And what was interesting about Pergamum is that it was a city that was on a hill. And the city that is on the hill, everyone else sees. So it means that when I honor, the Lord is going to raise me above the fray so others can see it. But one thing about this same city is that it wasn't a road that was most traveled, similar to Smyrna and Ephesus. So Pergamum, although it was a city everyone saw, not everyone was willing to take the uphill climb to get to it. And so everyone desires to be honored, and everyone wants to interact with people of integrity, but it takes a special person to commit to living a life of honor and integrity, even when no one else will ever know. That's the life that God wants. I find it interesting that Christ was concerned about our character in one of the final messages recorded to his church. So it's important for us to understand that God wants us to be people of character. And this standard for character is not another person, natural person, but the standard is Jesus. And so let's make it our heart's decision that we are going to model our lives after the way Jesus honored and after the way Jesus was a person of integrity. Do you know he lived 33 years and did not break honor and did not break integrity, even when he was lied upon facing death? He could have easily, as he said, I could have broke the integrity of Scripture and called down legions of angels to stop that beating. But I didn't. Let's go back up to Revelation 2 and 13. And we're going to look more at this church that really focused in on honor, because these two churches we're looking at were not perfect churches. They didn't get everything right. And that's encouraging for me to know, because how many of y'all know I don't get everything right either? As good as I am, I realize there's still more room to grow. As wonderful as I think that I am, it's still better that I know the Lord is calling us to. But in Revelation 2 and 13, this is Jesus talking. He says, I know that you live in a city where Satan has his throne, yet you have remained loyal to me. You refused to deny me, even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among you there in Satan's city. And what was interesting about the persecution that they were facing is it wasn't natural persecution. It was literally sent by Satan to distract them from living lives of honor. Every persecution that comes to you is not by people. That's why we don't wrestle with people. We wrestle with the spirit behind the people. We don't attack each other. And when you can understand that Satan may at times use people who are even the closest to you to bring the greatest amount of pain, when you look beyond the person and look to the spirit, you then say, well, I'm not going to side with Satan, who's already attacking me. I am going to now use a weapon of God and say, I choose to honor, even in the face of persecution. Now, that's hashtag a grown person move right there. If you can maintain your integrity under attack, then you begin to develop spiritual muscles. Then you begin to develop spiritual strength. I think that's important for the church. There has to be a level of spiritual strength on the inside of us. There has to be a level of commitment to the Word of God, because I believe in the power and the integrity of God's Word. The only time I will waver God's Word is if I question the integrity of God. Let's keep going. Drop down to Revelation 2 and 19. So let's look at Thyatira. In Revelation 2 and 19, again, Jesus is talking to now the church that dealt with integrity. He said, I know all the things you do. I have seen your love, your faith, your service, your patient endurance. And watch what else he sees. And I can see your constant improvement in all things. I mean, the Lord sees your progress. Come on, you should be excited. Sometimes we don't celebrate the small victories. We feel like we've got to make this huge stride. And we tell ourselves that we'll finally be accepted when I can stop doing A, B, and C. But sometimes you need to celebrate that you're doing A, B, and C less. And as you begin to celebrate that I'm doing A, B, and C less, you'll begin to notice an internal change that takes place. Well, the importance of these two churches, and the reason why I had to combine the two, is because each one worked for the other. So the church of Thyatira was a gateway or a defense for the church of Pergamum. Again, the church of Thyatira was integrity. The church of Pergamum was honor. Thyatira defended Pergamum. Integrity defends honor. When I make a decision to not be a person of integrity, it corrodes away at my ability to honor. And the Lord is showing these things to us. Because at that time, the church of Thyatira, whenever they did not protect Pergamum, they then were known as the church of corruption. They were corrupt. And when Pergamum went undefended, they began to be known as the church of compromise. So whenever I don't keep my integrity concerning things that I have committed to, concerning promises the Lord has asked me to hold up to, I will then begin to be corrupted in my values. Therefore, I'm going to live a life that compromises my standards. And so the Lord is asking us, make a decision, because honor and integrity is not a reaction move. It is a, before everything happens, I'm making a decision that I am going to honor. That's why when it talks about honor your husbands and your wives, it did not say honor your husband and your wife when they deserve it. It's saying that before they ever do something to make you want to choke them with no emotion, though we do not condone domestic violence, you're making a decision that I'm not honoring the action, I'm honoring the position. And so there are people that I may not get along with and people that I may not care for, and there may be people I don't care to ever see another day in my life, but I must make a decision to continue to honor them, not for what they did, but because of the position that God has placed them in our life. So when we're talking about honoring God, we agree that God should be first place in our life. So if we agree that God should be first place in our life, that means that I am going to live my life in accordance to his will, not because he's trying to stop the fun, but he's trying to protect the heartbreak. And so regardless as to how I feel and regardless as to what the circumstances may say, because I honor God for the position he holds in my life, then I'm going to live a life that honors him. But watch this, because, you know, in church we sometimes have our top five sins. You know, we could brag about all the visible moral things that we do. I'm not touching this person. I'm not touching that person. I'm not stealing from this person. But the question is God and his way of doing things first priority in your life? Because by definition, we have fornication. We have whatever else sin we want to put right in there. But did you know by definition, anytime God is not first place in our life, that's idolatry? But we wink at sins that we deal with, but we attack those who deal with sins that we can see. So let's be honest, because This hit me right to my core. This hit me right in my heart. Because if I can be honest to you, I'm not going to ask you to tell on yourself. I'm going to tell on myself. I have not put God first place in every decision of my life. I haven't. I wish I could say I did. I have not. But even in the sin of idolatry, God allows me another chance to get it right. And if you're anything like me, every day you wake up, you thank God for another chance to get it right. See, when no matter what you find yourself in, no matter how dirty the situation may seem, no matter how hard life is, when you make the decision in this moment, God, thank you for another chance to get this right. But I want to show you all something that's pretty harsh, but it's true. Now, the Thyatira dealt with a particular theology that we all are more familiar with called you only live once. Hashtag YOLO. That was their mindset. You only live once, baby. Why are we doing all this right now, baby? Why are we taking care of our bodies right now? They just gonna turn to dust anyway. They just gonna burn them up anyway. Why should we live for God and we're going to die anyway? But what happened with that particular mindset is that they failed to realize that their bodies did not belong to them. There were two other things that were going on during that time. It was the sin, as they call it, the sin of Balaam. If you go back and read in the book of Numbers 25 all the way to 30, the sin of Balaam was to not destroy the people overtly, meaning I'm not going to destroy you directly, But I'm going to distract you long enough so that you can corrode your values long enough so that you can destroy your own life. The next sin was dealing with the Nicolaitans. And the fallacy with that theology during that time is that the Nicolaitans said, hey, God's a God of grace. We free. There's no more law. There's no legalism. It's whatever, because God understands. Which is another thing the Lord said, hey, hold on. Because his mindset, at the end of the day, we feel, whenever we justify sin, we feel entitled to do it. And grace doesn't come to entitle us. Grace comes to enable us to not make the same mistakes and be bound to them over and over again. So you got to think about some of the liberties that you're giving yourself. Are they because you're enabled by God's word to do it? Or you give yourself the permission because you feel entitled? I've been a good person, so I feel entitled to live this way. And so what the Lord is saying, it's not the way we live. Yes, you have freedom that comes in Christ. Yes, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But why would you want to destroy the only body, the only heart, the only life that you have on this earth? So when we're talking about honor, how am I honoring God? That's a response to how good he's been. But I want to read something that's very, very, I thought it was like, Lord, but I thought this is the grace message. And I thought that, you know. All right. Anybody have Revelation 2 and 22 open just for the sake of time? I got it. Or let's start at verse 20, Revelation 2 and verse 20. And we'll read to verse 22. Here's the Lord talking. He says, but I have this complaint against you. You're permitting that woman, that Jezebel, it's an adjective, it's not a literal person, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. It is very important. If you're teaching, opening your mouth in the Bible, you better be right by this book. You bet not add to this book. So to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and eat food offered to idols. Now, I wish I had enough time because I believe, Outlet, it's time for us to have the sex talk. Y'all didn't like that? I don't care. It's time for us to have the sex talk. It's time for us to be honest with each other, and it's time for us to hold each other accountable. Why? Because sex feel good. Okay, y'all be holy then. Sex feel real. Oh, I'm sorry if y'all got children in here. My goodness. Sex feels great in the proper context. And we've got to understand what that context is. And often the actions of intercourse cover the void that we have on the inside. So it's not that I'm necessarily in love, but I want to escape the pain that I feel. So I'm hoping for a feeling that helps to distract me from what I'm currently feeling. So we do need that. So just know, I owe y'all one. I'm not going to sit right here today. But we got to be honest, and let's just get to the root cause. Why are we doing it? Let's just be honest. What am I escaping that I don't want to deal with? Let's see. That makes a church shout. Verse 21. He said, I gave her time to repent, to change her mind, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Now, watch this tough phraseology from Christ. And then I'm going to go because I've been preaching for a while. It says, therefore, I will throw her on a bed of suffering. What? Jesus? You? So I had to go and I had to study it in the Greek. And in verse 22 in the New Living Translation, it says, I will throw her In the New King James, to make it better, it said that I will cast her. Cast out's better than throw, doesn't it? Does it not? No, I didn't think so. But I wanted to understand to the baseline. The word I will throw, or the phrase I will cast, was a Greek word, balo, which simply means I will let fall or allow the law of gravity to work. I want to ask you all a question. This info card that, if it's your first time, God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. At the end of service, I would love for you to fill out one of these, and we would love to follow up with you. And just thank you so much for coming to the Outlet community. But this info card right now is being upheld in my hand. Glory. So I want you all to tell me, did God cause it to fall? Oh, and it's your first time. Welcome. God bless you. There you go, right to you. The info card new. Info card new. Come on, Jesus. Hey. Untie my Honda. Did God do that? Did God cause that card to have a tough fall to teach it a lesson? Oh, yeah, I'm feeling real practice right now. Did God teach that card a lesson because the card fell? No. Who got to hold of that card? What got a hold of the card? Gravity. And you all seem calm about that. Gravity. It's like it's an understood. But let that be you when you've been doing some foolishness and crash and burn. You know, the Lord, he, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't get it all together. And even we don't get it all together, the Lord has to send us situations to humble us. No, that's called consequence. So what the Lord is saying is that while you think you're getting away, while you think that no one sees, you don't understand that it was my hand protecting you in your foolishness. You don't understand that your decisions could have drastically made your life even worse, and it was my hand that was hoping that you would make time enough to change your mind. So this is the thing that, and this is the compassion I have for people who I see do not live lives that honor God, honor others, and just don't have integrity. I say, God, I pray someone comes across their path and shares with them that they don't understand. They're right now. It's not by their efforts. It's not by their craftiness. It is the hand of God protecting them. And the Lord says, sometimes when you dishonor my hand, I have to remove the covering so you can see what your actions are really producing. We should make us grateful every day to live and honor God because he's protected us from so much. Sometimes I think we should just praise God for the stuff we didn't know he protected us from. Sometimes we should praise God for some of the things that we pray for and that we did not get because he knew. And I just think that just the place that it starts, because I don't want you to feel like, oh, I got to change this. Let me show you how to start. Let me show you how to take the next step if we could all just stand to our feet. A life of honor starts today by honoring God. And it starts with us saying, God, whatever's going on in my life, I'm putting it in your hands. That's where it starts, with honoring him. Before we go into a time of worship, just close your eyes with me just for a brief moment. Brief moment. Brief moment. As I was ministering today, the Lord was talking and touching to different hearts, different lives. And if you're here today and you're like, you know what? I want to take that next step in just honoring God with my life. I know where I'm at, and praise God where you're at. I just want to commend you for being here this morning. I'm not knocking you, but I'm saying if there's better out there, let's go for it. If we're doing good and there's better out there, then good is just not enough. But if you're in here and you're like, you know what? I'm ready to just take that next step. Whatever it is, I'm going to submit my life to God because he's going to talk to you the way that you know best. But if that's you, just by a show of hands, like I'm ready to take that next step in honoring God with my life. Honoring God and everything. Come on, I see those hands all over this room today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. We are making a decision that we are going to honor God with everything that we do. So, Father, as we enter this time of worship, as we worship to you, I pray every single heart in here just opens up, opens their heart to you and sings the words that you've given us the victory. I pray that every person in here makes a decision to withhold nothing from you because you've been so, so good. Every person that's raised their hand and even raised their heart, God, you are with them. God, you are for them. So by your authority, Lord, by your power, by your grace, keep them in all that they do. If we could all just lift up our hand to the Father. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling, I speak shalom, shalom over your life. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything that you have need of is already taken care of by the power of God. May he comfort your hearts today to let you know that he's for you, that right now you have the victory in all things. You have the victory every single place that you go. Oh, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everyone at the loudest part of their voice says, amen. Come on, let's worship God, Outlet. Let-